I'm Kelly Beattie, the editor of Night Sky magazine, and we're going on a tour of the stars you'll see overhead during November. This month's biggest sky-watching event occurs in broad daylight. On Wednesday, November 8th, the little planet Mercury glides across the face of the Sun, an event that astronomers call a transit. Mercury will edge onto the Sun's face around 2:12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's also 1:12 p.m. Central, 12:12 p.m. Mountain, and 11:12 a.m. Pacific. If you're in Western North America, you can watch the entire transit, which ends when Mercury slips off the Sun's edge about 5 hours later at 4:10 p.m. Pacific Time. For those of you farther east, the Sun sets while the transit is still in progress. During the transit, you'll see Mercury in silhouette, a tiny round bullet hole on the Sun's disk. It's too small to see by eye, so you'll need good binoculars or a telescope. But remember, it's never safe to look directly at the Sun, and it's especially dangerous when the view is magnified. So please, don't look at the Sun directly unless you've got a safe solar filter. And I'm not talking about something you've kludged together from stuff around your house. I mean a filter that's made specifically for solar viewing, something able to block 99.99% of the Sun's light and heat. And if your scope came with a small, dark Sun filter that screws into the eyepiece, throw it away. It's not safe to use. The Sun's intense heat can crack it without warning. If you don't have a safe solar filter, you can still use your telescope to project the Sun's image onto a white card or even a nearby wall. Here's how. First, cover your finder scope to protect it. Now, put a low-power eyepiece into the focuser, hold a white card about 12 inches from the eyepiece, and turn the whole telescope so that the shadow of its tube is just a circle. You'll know you've hit the bullseye when the Sun's bright white image appears on the card. It'll probably be out of focus, so slowly turn the focusing knob until the image becomes sharp. Remember, don't look directly into the telescope. There's lots more information about Mercury's transit and how to view it in the current issue of Night Sky magazine. Okay, let's fast forward to the evening sky. Darkness comes sooner now that we're back on standard time, and for stargazers, that's a good thing. For the first few days of November, the moon will still be in the sky at sunset. Full moon falls on the 4th, and after that, it'll rise later and later each night. Once the moon departs, the sky gets darker, and you'll be able to see more stars. The bad news is that for the first time in more than 2 years, not a single bright planet shines in the evening sky. However, look high up in the west and you'll see our old friends, the three bright stars of the summer triangle. Vega is the brightest and the one closest to the horizon. Deneb is above it by the width of two or three fists held at arm's length, and Altair is farther off to Vega's left. I suppose summer triangle is a misnomer because you'll be able to see this famous trio well into December. Now turn to your left, to face south. The only decently bright star in that part of the sky is named Fomalhaut, and it'll be two or three fists above the horizon, depending on your latitude. This lonely beacon is sometimes called the Autumn Star. It's part of the dim constellation known as Pisces Austrinus, the southern fish. Here's a helpful tip. Look for Fomalhaut around mid-November at 7 p.m. and note what's below it along your horizon. That direction is due south. If Fomalhaut is due south, and you do an about-face to look due north, you'll find Polaris, the north star, roughly halfway from the horizon to overhead. Don't expect to be dazzled by Polaris. It's only half as bright as Fomalhaut. About three fists to the upper right of Polaris, you'll see a group of five medium-bright stars shaped like a crude 3, or like a broad W tipped up on its corner. This is the constellation Cassiopeia, who's a queen in Greek mythology. Now those stars don't look much like a queen to me, but you might convince yourself that they outline the chair or throne that she's sitting on. Ancient poets say Cassiopeia was queen of either Ethiopia or Joppa, the city now called Jaffa in Israel. In any case, she was both beautiful and boastful. To punish her arrogance, Poseidon, lord of the sea, sent the monster Cetus to ravage her land. From there, the story gets messy. Her daughter Andromeda gets chained to a rock, the hero Perseus swoops in to save her, yada yada yada. I'll get more into this next time, but the bottom line is that Cassiopeia's misdeeds land her up in the sky, doomed to hang upside down half the time. November is also the month of the Leonid meteor shower, so called because the streaks of these shooting stars appear to radiate from the constellation Leo. You might recall that the Leonids were spectacular several years ago, but normally they're a pretty modest display. Unfortunately, the peak of this year's shower occurs when North America is in daylight, on the afternoon of Friday the 17th. So your best chances for seeing Leonids are to get up well before dawn on Friday, or to stay up very late that night and well into the morning of Saturday the 18th. If your sky is dark, you might count 10 Leonid meteors per hour. But if you're watching from the city, your count will be lower because most meteors are faint and hard to see in a light-polluted sky. Now, there's an outside chance that the Leonids will erupt with a brief burst of activity around 11:45 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday the 19th. The best places to see this outburst will be far western Europe and Africa. But there's a good chance of catching a few meteors in eastern New York State, New England, and easternmost Canada. If you want more sky watching tips, check out Night Sky's official website, skytonight.com. Next month, we'll spend some more time with Cassiopeia and her dysfunctional family. Until then, I wish you clear skies.